Oh, Kripal, come and sit with us and go through the pages of our hearts. What crime have we done that you quietly go away from us? This is Dibhajan Akripal Kolbed on page 266. As long as the breaths flow, we cannot forget you. If you do not believe it, put your hand on our heart and see. I am yours. I was yours ever since I loved you. Why should I be afraid when I have loved you? I have come to your door with hopes and expectations. It is up to you whether, becoming the Sawan of happiness, you give us alms or send us away empty-handed. Try us. I will come swimming across as Sohani came. But at least once, sit with Ajaib and go through the pages of our hearts. Oh, Kripal, come and sit with us and go through the pages of our hearts. What crime have we done that you quietly go away from us? Bhajan of Sanchi on page 266.
Akirpal kole bete asande fo dila devarke o ikona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke. Langa jando chupakarke. Akir pal kole bete asande fo dila de varke ho ikona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke. Langa jando chupakarke. Asina hibula sakade tenu jina chirsa vagade ne. Asina hibula sakade tenu jina chirsa vagade ne. Sachanahi onda jetenu vexine hath darke. Sachanahi onda jetenu vexine hath darke. Ho ikona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke. Langa jando chupakarke. Akir pal kole bete hasande fo dila devarke. Ho ikona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke. Langa jando chupakarke. Terihi ha terihi sa jato chahiya tenu. Terihi ha terihi sa jato chahiya tenu. Pyar tere sang kita eta kire na fir darke. Pyar tere sang kita eta kire na fir darke. O ikona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke langa jando chupakarke akirpala kole bete asande odila devarke Hoi kona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke langa jando chupakarke darterete aiha kuja asumidaleke Dartirete aeha kuja asumidaleke Padadekerja modekari kushyade sawanabaneke Padadekerja modekari Kushyate sawanabhanake Oikona kanami sato Langa jando chupakarke Langa jando chupakarke Akirpala kola bete asande Odila de barke Hoi kona kanami sato Langa jando chupakarke Langa jando chupakarke Vek parakke sanu sani Vanga javangitarke Vek parakke sanu sohani Vanga javangitarke Paika vari pe kol ajai bade Fodila devarke Parikavari peko ajaybade kodila devarke Hoi kona kanami sato langa jando chupakarke langa jando chupakarke Akirpala kola bete asande Fodila devarke Hoi kona kanami sato Langa jando chupakarke Langa jando chupakarke
Oh, Kripal, come and sit with us and go through the pages of our hearts. What crime have we done that you quietly go away from us? As long as the breaths flow, we cannot forget you. If you don't believe it, put your hand on our heart and see. I am yours. I was yours ever since I loved you. Why should I be afraid when I have loved you? Try us. I will come swimming across this Sohani game. But at least once, sit with a jab and go through the pages of our hearts. We have been reading recently the Master Kripal's Great Discourse, Five Dacoits Are Looting While Man Slumbers. And it is, as I said when we started reading this, a few weeks back, that this is, in my opinion, a major, very major statement about the psychology of the masters. And the motif that Master uses here, the central metaphor, which is not actually a metaphor, it's a statement of fact about sleep, is very, very basic to the whole understanding of what the masters come for, what they do with us, how they relate to us, and what the path actually is, how it works. So I'll continue reading more or less where I left off. Actually, I'm going to go back a couple of paragraphs to make it clear. Master says, the whole world is sleeping. Rich, poor, intellectual, illiterate, alike. Why? Because they have no awareness of themselves. Each one's soul is at the mercy of the mind, which is itself at the mercy of the senses, which in turn are dragged around by the sense enjoyments. We have become identified with the body and the world. We have forgotten ourselves. Those who pursue the intellect lose themselves even more than the others. For although the illiterate are lost in the senses, yet through intellect one can get more deeply involved in the senses and the intellect both. We do work through the intellect, and it can help us to understand the true state of affairs, which is that the soul is a conscious entity, and our greatest aim as human beings is to realize God. The soul must rejoin the Lord. God is in every form. He is the sustaining power in all life. Due to this, our soul stays with the body. But when he removes his sustenance, the body is finished and returns to its various elements. Furthermore, if he withdraws his power from creation, then dissolution or grand dissolution occurs in different degrees. There is nothing nearer to us than this power of God, which is the very soul of our soul. Our soul has become jiva, soul in creation, that is, soul bound by the mind, through connection with the mind, and so the sense enjoyments drag it around. It has forgotten itself in this depth of indulgence. Together, the beloved and the soul. The soul sleeps, but the beloved is in full awareness. The influence of the senses and the outer attractions keeps the soul asleep to the truth, while the God husband is constantly awake, waiting for the soul to open her eyes. In this pitiful situation, how can we awake? How can one sleeping person awaken another? Only in the satsang can one sit in the company of an awakened soul, and one awakened soul can surely awaken thousands who are sleeping. An awakened soul does not mean a lecturer or reader of books, those who have knowledge at the sense level only. For he who has developed his intellect is also asleep. The world is sleeping at the level of the mind. Mind is most powerful at the physical level, where it takes our attention further and further into physical expression. Mind has stages also, physical, astral, causal. It operates in all three. It is not something simple. Many great sages have left this world crying because of the mind. So first we must learn to control the physical mind by withdrawing it from outer senses. You will find in some Eastern books the story of Habal and Kabal, and it is the story of the lower mind, habu, killing the higher mind. Mind is a very strange phenomenon, and if it is controlled, it will show the happenings of the three worlds. Remove yourself from outer distractions, and you will awaken unto your true self. Has it never occurred to you that you must leave this world one day, even in the presence of death, or accompanying the body to the cremation ground? Do you never stop to think that you will also be in this position someday? We do agree that we have to go when reminded about it, but we then promptly forget the matter. It is a very sad condition we are in. Guru Arjan Sahib says, "Arise, awake, O traveler. Why this delay? Beloved soul, why are you sleeping? The sun of human birth has risen, and this is the time to awaken. If this opportunity slips from your fingers, it will never come so soon again. This invaluable birth will be wasted." Similarly, the Upanishads say, "Awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. It is like a sleeping sickness, and if you go to the root cause, you will understand what is happening, and then you will know how imperative it is to gain release from all this illusion and forgetfulness." Listen now to a hymn of Guru Arjan Sahib, in which he tells us more on this subject. You may ask, if we are sleeping, then how are we able to talk? But do we not talk in our sleep? You have not got the awareness, but you have the intellect, so try and understand. We are the soul, the indweller of the body, and we often say, "This is my body, I am the soul," etc. "As I have taken off my coat and placed it here, can you remove your body? Can you rise above it and analyze yourself from mind and matter, separating yourself from the body? You would then see clearly who and what you are." Now listen to the hymn, which tells us how we went to sleep and how we can awaken. "Inner eye sleeps, while one covetously envies the possessions of others. Inner ear sleeps, yet one eagerly hears all slander and scandal." The Master's message is for embodied souls, caught in the web of mind and senses, unable to release themselves. Masters make no distinction between religions and sects. Their message is for the whole human race. O soul, since you took birth into the world, you have developed the habit of seeing things, and so your outer eye is open, but the eye which is used to see within became more securely closed. Although awake from without, you are asleep within, and by greedily envying the goods of others, your inner eye has gone deeper and deeper into this slumber. Our outer awakenedness is busy coveting the wealth, property, bodies of others, and this creates impressions which are taken in and absorbed into one's being through the eyes. Remember, 83% of all impressions we absorb enter into man through the eyes. Whatever you see is registered in you. This constant intake of impressions closes the inner vision more and more as the years go by. Furthermore, the impressions we absorb from outside are reproduced into our thoughts and dreams, and in this way a superficial life is built up. Up to now, you have never had the opportunity to dip inside yourself. The ears are perpetually listening to the scandalizing and slandering of other people's characters. Their virtues are underrated and their faults exaggerated. If something is worth repeating, it should also be 100% accurate. Otherwise, it amounts to slander. Test this fact for yourself. Just sit quietly and listen to any conversations going on around you, and you will find they consist of gossip, criticism, and scandal, principally. 14% of all impressions come through the ears. 83 and 14 amount to 97% of all impressions through two senses alone, awake or asleep. All this attention going out, all these impressions coming in, and never a single glance inwardly toward one's real self, which is in deep, heavy slumber, unaware of all this. Inner taste sleeps through greedy outer enjoyments. Mind slumbers on in the wonders of illusion. This is our daily life. This thing is very sweet, that thing is very beautiful. Strong in man are these senses of sight, hearing, and taste. He is always busy seeing, hearing, eating, and drinking, tasting something attractive today and wanting more and more of it tomorrow. During my tour of 1955, I was invited to meet a Father Divine in the USA, and at the dinner there, more than 60 different dishes were served, both sweet and savory. Just think of 60 different things to be tasted. There's a limit to what the taste can distinguish. What is seen, heard, and eaten is all reproduced and recorded within one's being. And this is how our superficial lives are made. Illusion started with this body. You can see how this physical form has encouraged this forgetfulness we exist in. We are embodied souls, but we have become only the body, and we can see only at the sense level. Now, is this not superficial? Mind is also asleep in this illusion. It has also become the form of the outer attractions, when awake and asleep both. What an accurate picture Guru Arjan Sahib is sketching. The masters are constantly trying to draw man's attention to the true state of affairs. One Muslim fakir points out that one should close the eyes and ears to shut out these impressions and also close the lips. This renders the tongue out of action, and it is then also impossible to eat anything. Whatever the method, we must stop these three kinds of impressions coming inside from without, and then we should invert within. The fakir adds that if the truth does not then awaken in you, you are free to ridicule the method. It is a very definite statement and a fair offer. Only the awakened soul can help one to invert these rebellious senses and withdraw from the outer attractions. At present, one sees outwardly only, but then with his blessing of inner vision, you will see within, and the path will be open for you. At present, one hears only outer sounds, but one will hear the inner music, the sound of the truth. At present, you enjoy outer actions, but by inversion, you will start to enjoy the delectable inner nectar of Nam. When that nectar comes, this taste is no longer enjoyed. And who makes all this possible? When the Satguru is met, inversion starts. If you die while living, you will solve the riddle. He who is awake in the house of the body can receive that inherent perfect gift. If you awaken while living in this physical house, the Lord's gift is yours. He is already within, but one must withdraw the attention from outside. What is there to realizing the Lord? Just uproot it from here and plant it there. It is a simple matter of where the attention is focused. Break away from family and acquaintances, then our Savior will come. If you receive the perfect gift, you also will become perfect, as God is perfect. Just start withdrawing from outer attractions. But if the lecturers and scriptural authorities are sitting on the outer perimeter at the sense level, then who will help us awaken? Our near and dear are intoxicated with their own enjoyments, having no knowledge of their true home. Our friends, relations, etc., are embodied souls like us, intoxicated by the outer enjoyments and having no awareness of themselves, dragged by sight, hearing, taste, and touch, suffering from one sickness or another. Remember that enslavement to a single sense alone can bring death, imprisonment, or slavery for life. Take the moth, for example, which burns itself to death because of the ruling sense of sight. Through its strong sense of taste, the fish gets caught on the fisherman's hook. A certain insect has a very strong sense of smell and is attracted to the scent of flowers. It loses its life when it enters that flower, which closes like a clam. The sense of hearing is overpowering in the deer and in serpents. The deer is attracted by the beating of drums, and he is so fascinated that he is helpless to move and is captured. The snake, a fearsome creature, is enchanted by the sound of the bina, is captured and spends its life in a snake charmer's basket. The sense of touch is dominating in the elephant, and through trickery they attract the male to the female and thereby capture him, starve him for days to weaken his strength that he may be controlled, and from then on he is a slave to man. If for the prevalence of a single sense these creatures lose their freedom or their lives, then what hope for man who has five? It seems an impossible situation. With so many enjoyments in this body, how can Nam reside therein? Everywhere people are in the same condition. Brothers, sisters, husbands, children, parents, friends. There is a sleeping state and a drunken state. And whereas a sleeping person can be awakened, what about him who is in the drunken condition? You can shout at him, but he is without consciousness and will not respond. These are hard facts. It is a very accurate picture of mankind. Even the few who try to find the cure in the scriptures are helpless, for one cannot awaken the consciousness by reading a book. Five dacoits have entered these sleepy dwellings and have looted the vacant house. Everyone is sleeping and the dacoits are looting wildly. Who are these five dacoits? They are anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego. They are looting the people who are sleeping in a drugged state. Like this, man loses his most valuable possessions and tragically does not realize this is happening because he is so engrossed in the enjoyments that whatever knowledge of right he had is pushed aside. A little awareness of the predicament he is in comes only when he has lost everything he possessed. The house is unprotected. The thieves can get in, for the owner is in a deep sleep. You are the owner of your physical house, are you not? Know it or not, you are in a drunken state, and although you have been awakened innumerable times, yet you merely say, "Yes, yes, I am awake, but this is only from outside," and you promptly go to sleep again. You have never awakened from within. There is no answering reply from your true self. If the point does not go home, the whole thing is superficial. Father, mother cannot protect you, nor can friends and relations. These people may suffer for or with you, but they cannot help you, for they too are asleep and are helplessly being looted like you. All are helpless sufferers at the hands of the five dacoits, and this includes the read and unread, the rich and the famous alike. Riches and knowledge will not give self-protection. It is not a condition that can be improved with money or with intellectual knowledge. Do not the intellectuals fall also? The thieves cannot be controlled by the intellect, nor can they be bribed. Swamiji Maharaj is also given a very lucid explanation on the subject, so we will take a little of his hymn now and then return afterwards to Guru Arjan Sahib. How can the sleeping mind be awakened, brothers? Tell me, what steps must I take? If we have understood that we are now asleep, that the mind is sleeping within us, then what steps have we taken to ensure that we awaken? Even 100 wise men will have the same wisdom, and Swamiji is explaining the same thing as Guru Arjan Sahib. Those who are awakened see everything in crystal clarity and know what safeguards to take. He explains how to awaken and also why we have not awakened to date through the various practices we have been doing. One went on pilgrimage, even kept fast, became filled with bookish knowledge. What is the meaning of pilgrimage? Places of pilgrimage are kept up because some soul at some time received his awakening there. Kabir Sahib once asked God to remove a great doubt that he had in his heart, and that doubt was whether the place of pilgrimage is better than the Lord's servant being the Guru. Of course, the Lord's servant is the greater, for the holy place is founded because of him. If an awakened soul sat in 10 different places, then all 10 became holy, so he is the great one. The place where Guru Nanak Sahib was born, the village of Talwandi, is now a holy place and has been renamed Nankana Sahib. Guru Nanak once sat under a particular Reta tree, and that tree is now known as Reta Sahib. If you taste its fruit even today, you will find it very sweet and not bitter, as the fruit of the Reta normally is. The whole world's holy places have been made because of some enlightened soul. Millions of souls have been born in different places, and millions have died. But who remembers the coming and going of all these? And yet a single awakened soul can put a small place on the map. Hazrat Muhammad Sahib was born in Mecca. Millions of others have been born there before and since, and yet only he is remembered. Jerusalem is a holy city to the Christians because Christ was there. What about all the others before and after him? The original purpose of going to a holy place was to sit at the feet of the awakened soul and to learn his teaching. Leave your troublesome, busy home life for a little while and go to sit at the feet of some enlightened soul. You cannot awaken by merely taking a dip in some holy river. This is not the fault of the places of pilgrimage. They are what we have made them, places of enjoyment, holiday resorts, attractions to sightseers. Take Hardwar, for instance. This is a place where the great rishis and munis stayed, Guru Nanak Sahib also, and Guru Amar Das, who for many years visited Hardwar every year. What is the place like today? Some years ago I saw that 2 cinemas had been built there, and since then many more. In the evening especially, you can see nothing but eating, drinking, and people at large seeking amusement. There's nothing else. This is not the true purpose of making a holy place of pilgrimage. And what can a dip in a holy river do for you? If the mind is dirty, everything is dirty. By washing the body, mind cannot be cleansed. This world is an illusion of forgetfulness. Only a few can find the truth. So how can the mind be purified? Oh, my mind, repeat only the Naam. The Satguru has given me this wealth. Through the Naam, one can become pure. One is highly fortunate if one meets anyone who is a true lover of Naam, for purity starts when one is joined to it. Kabir very bluntly says, a fish from a rivulet came floating down the Ganges. It washed itself in every way, but its smell remained. By washing one's body, one cannot wash away the dirt from the mind. Guru Nanak in his Japji Sahib says, when the hands, feet, and body are besmeared, they are washed clean with water. When the clothes get dirty, they are cleansed with soap. When the mind gets defiled with sin, it can be purified only by communion with Naam. No one can get salvation merely by visiting some holy place until the purpose of the visit is fulfilled. Our master used to say that those in the east go on pilgrimage to the west, and those in the west go east. People of the north go south and vice versa. They are all like a weaver's shuttle going back and forth. Yet they do not find what they are seeking. I once met a sadhu who told me he had walked from Amarnath to Rameshwar 14 times. These two places are almost the northernmost and southernmost points of India, respectively. Well, I asked him what was the condition of his mind, and he said, oh, the mind is the same. Actually, the mind is more inclined to disperse even farther by such journeys, for it dwells on the different places and scenes and happenings, etc., here, there, and everywhere, in the form of thousands of impressions which have entered the mind and go on revolving round and round. If one stayed in one place only, there would be fewer impressions. Swamiji says that thousands have gone on pilgrimage and thousands have performed practices of various kinds, but in the end they lost. The purpose of fasting is that the body should not be overloaded with food and should rest sometimes. Have you ever given your stomach a holiday? People go on pushing food down every hour, every half hour. This renders the digestive system ineffective, and the result is one disease or another. The true purpose of fasting is to gain good health, to overload the stomach before a day's fast, and then reload it again after the fast is finished, accomplishes nothing but more moans and groans. If there is a little space in the stomach, and it is not completely filled up with food, then that space can be filled with the light of God. There are many different kinds of fasting. For instance, one can fast on fruit and milk alone. But what happens? They start eating and drinking it by the kilos. Food was made for man's needs. Eat in moderation and you will be successful. Only the food that is digested will give strength. We are ambitious for more consciousness, but overeating makes us lazy. We sleep longer. Some people are under the impression that they were just born to eat. You'll remember in the Puranas it tells of food going to Lord Vishnu with the complaint that the people were eating him mercilessly, and what should he do about it? Lord Vishnu said that if anyone eats food more than necessary, then food should eat them. You can see this very result around you. The majority of people are sick, the cause of which is principally an excess of food in the system and irregular eating habits. One should take a little less than is necessary at each meal. That will give a buoyancy and aid one's efforts in becoming more awake. Furthermore, the health will improve and one will be able to tackle a larger share of work. However, even if one goes to the extreme outer practice of fasting, what is the result? Swamiji tells us, by remaining hungry, the hunger is not gone. You have failed in your purpose. People have kept fast upon fast and have not achieved anything really worthwhile because the consciousness does not awaken thereby. This is due to these outer practices being performed at the sense level. If some higher purpose or result was achieved thereby, if one thereby gained an inner contact with Nam, for instance, or the company of the Satguru, then fasting or pilgrimage, austerities, etc., would have some value. Fasting for fasting's sake alone is spiritually worthless. This applies also to reading the scriptures, which merely increases intellectual knowledge. Tulsi Sahib says, 4:18:9 were read. Reading all this, yet the point was lost. Without contact of Surat with Shabad, one is like the Chandul bird. The four Vedas, the 18 Puranas, the 9 Shastras, these are the ancient Hindu scriptures. But what is the use of absorbing the whole world scriptures if they have no value in the light of one's purpose or goal? He says that one becomes like the Chandul bird, which goes on imitating all the sounds it hears. No one ever got salvation through reading. Understand this carefully. The Upanishads tell us that the senses, the mind, and the intellect all should be stilled, and only then will the soul perceive. Reasoning is a help for understanding, and reasoning is a bar also. The Vedas say the ignorant will go to dark regions of death. Those drenched in knowledge will go to darker regions. To still the intellect is most important, for that very intellect is at sense level, and the mind is already asleep because of its connections with the senses. None of these outer practices can awaken the sleeping mind. I'll continue this next time, but I just want to say that a great deal of the way that the Master relates to us, of the experiences that we all have had in connection with the Master, revolve around and mostly consist of efforts he has made to awaken us. And if you read carefully, you know, the various reports that people have made of their relationship with the Master and of their interactions with him, you will see that this is the case. John Engel's book, The Gifts of a Saint, you know, my two books with on Kripal and Ajay, and the not just my experiences, but the experiences of all the people whose reports are also included. You know, this is all about the Master waking us up. And then, of course, as he said, has said, we all fall asleep again. And it's a constant struggle to keep awake. Really, this is what the path consists of, waking up and then staying awake. And someone who can stay awake totally is, of course, a master. And obviously, until we reach, you know, some kind of higher place, we will not be able to do that. But the point is, the way to get there is to keep on waking up. No matter how many times we fall back asleep, the point is to wake up. And this is what the Master comes to make us do. And sometimes he does it gently and lovingly, by, you know, the same way we sometimes wake up a loved one who is sleeping and she needs to wake up, but, you know, it doesn't happen easily. We do our best very gently, and if she doesn't wake up even then, we have to, you know, do something to shock her awake. That's exactly what the Master does with us. He does it gently and sweetly and lovingly, and, you know, gently, like brushing our eyes or rubbing his hands across our face. But if we don't respond to that, bam, you know, he does something that will jolt us awake. And that's what, how our, you know, our interconnections with the Master can be understood, I think, best be understood, is a series of awakenings. And our own experience on the path can be understood in the same way, as a series of awakenings followed by a series of falling back asleep again, over and over and over. So that's why I think this talk is so important. You know, Master Kripal gave me this talk in person. He handed it to me, the manuscript form, when I was in India in 1973 for the purpose of publishing it in the magazine. He didn't do that very often. Most of the talks I got for publication in Sat Sandesh were came to me through the mail or given to me over there by Cuckoo and Eileen, the Princess and Eileen Wigg, who were my Indian staff for Sat Sandesh. But this one Master handed to me in person. He made some comments about it when he gave it to me, and I've always held it in the highest regard ever since. So we will continue this talk.
Sultan Mahmood apni rijid di hifazat waste raat nu pes badal ke sheher vich janda gaya agge panchor san ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਆਪ ਕੌਣ ਹੋ ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਚੋਰ ਹਾਂ ਜਦ ਮਹਿਮੂਦ ਨੂੰ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਗਿਆ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕੌਣ ਹੋ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਵੀ ਚੋਰ ਹਾਂ ਔਰ ਸਾਰੇ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋਏ ਕਿ ਰਲ ਕੇ ਚੋਰੀ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ ਫਿਰ ਖਿਆਲ ਆਇਆ ਕਿ ਆਪਣੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਕੋਈ ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਸਰਦਾਰ ਵੀ ਹੋਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਸਰਦਾਰ ਚੁਣਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੇ ਕਸਬ ਦੱਸਣੇ ਜ਼ਰੂਰੀ ਸਨ ਕਿ ਜਿਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਵਸਵ ਹੋਏਗਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸਰਦਾਰ ਚੁਣਿਆ ਜਾਏਗਾ ਪਹਿਲੇ ਚੋਰ ਨੂੰ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਮੈਂ ਕਮੰਧ ਮਹੱਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਲਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਦਫ਼ਾ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿਤਨੇ ਵੀ ਆਦਮੀ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਉੱਪਰ ਚੜ੍ਹ ਜਾਣ ਦੂਸਰੇ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਸੁੰਘਣ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮੁਹਾਰਤ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸ ਸਕਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਖਜ਼ਾਨਾ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਹੈ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਪਾੜ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੁਹਾਰਤ ਹੈ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਹੀ ਮੈਂ ਖੜਾਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਣ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਤੱਕ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਣ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਚੌਥੇ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਜਾਨਵਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਬੋਲੀ ਪਛਾਣ ਸਕਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਕੀ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਪੰਜਵੇਂ ਨੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਇੱਕ ਵਾਰੀ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਲੈਣਾ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦਿਨੇ ਆਸਾਨੀ ਨਾਲ ਪਛਾਣ ਲੈਣਾ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਮਹਿਮੂਦ ਸੋਚ ਰਿਹਾ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਕੀ ਦੱਸਾਂ ਜਦ ਮੇਰੀ ਵਾਰੀ ਆਏਗੀ ਆਖਰ ਸੋਚ ਕੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੀ ਦਾੜੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇਹ ਵਸਫ ਹੈ ਗੁਣ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਤਨੇ ਵੀ ਪਬਲਿਕ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਫਾਂਸੀ ਦੇ ਤਖ਼ਤ 'ਤੇ ਚੜ੍ਹਦੀ ਹੋਵੇ ਅਗਰ ਮੈਂ ਹਿਲਾ ਦੇਵਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਸਭ ਛੁੱਟ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਆਜ਼ਾਦ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਸਾਰੇ ਕਹਿ ਕਹਾ ਕੇ ਹੱਸ ਪਏ ਕਿ ਵੀ ਇਹ ਸਰਦਾਰ ਠੀਕ ਹੈ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸਰਦਾਰ ਮੰਨ ਲਿਆ ਚੋਰੀ ਦੀ ਸਲਾਹ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ ਕਿ ਰਾਜੇ ਦੇ ਮਹੱਲ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਜ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਲਾਈਏ ਮਜਬੂਰਨ ਉਸ ਰਾਜੇ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਸ਼ਾਮਿਲ ਹੋਣਾ ਪਿਆ ਮਹੱਲ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਬੜਾ ਕੀਮਤੀ ਸਮਾਨ ਚੁਰਾਇਆ ਬਾਹਰ ਆ ਕੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਤਕਸੀਮ ਕੀਤਾ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਗਨੀਮਤ ਦਾ ਮਾਲ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਗਏ ਖੁਸ਼ੀ ਖੁਸ਼ੀ ਔਰ ਸੁਬਹਾ ਮਹਿਮੂਦ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਅਹਿਲਕਾਰ ਭੇਜ ਕੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਚੋਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮੰਗਵਾ ਲਿਆ ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਫਾਂਸੀ ਦੀ ਸਜ਼ਾ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਔਰ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਫਾਂਸੀ ਦੀ ਸਜ਼ਾ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਸੀ ਮੈਂ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਪਛਾਣ ਸਕਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਸਾਹਮਣੇ ਆਇਆ ਉਹਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪਛਾਣ ਲਿਆ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਨੂੰ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਸਲਾਮਤ ਹੁਣ ਦਾੜੀ ਹਿਲਾ ਦਿਓ ਦਾੜੀ ਹਿਲਾਉਣ ਕੀ ਸੀਗੀ ਕਿ ਸਾਰੇ ਹੀ ਫਾਂਸੀ ਦੇ ਤਖ਼ਤੇ ਤੋਂ ਥੱਲੇ ਲੈ ਗਏ ਔਰ ਸਭ ਨੇ ਇਕਰਾਰ ਕੀਤਾ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਮਾਫ਼ੀ ਮੰਗੀ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਅੱਗੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਵਫ਼ਾਦਾਰ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਅਹਿਲਕਾਰ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਵਿੱਚ ਹਾਜ਼ਰ ਹਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਕਰਾਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਭੈੜਾ ਖੋਟਾ ਕਰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ ਔਰ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਨੇ ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਆਜ਼ਾਦ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਇੱਕ ਕਹਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਸੱਚਿਆਈ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਭੇਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੇ ਸੰਤ ਇੱਥੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਸ਼ਰਾਬੀਆਂ ਕਬਾਬੀਆਂ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਬਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹਿ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਬਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹਿ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜੀਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਆਜ਼ਾਦ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਮਾਫ਼ੀ ਦਵਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਇਹ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਆ ਕੇ ਇੱਥੇ ਕਰਨਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਸੁਲਤਾਨ
ਇੱਕ ਚੋਰ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਣ ਹਟ ਗਿਆ ਸੀ ਜੋ ਰਾਤ ਨੂੰ ਕੁੱਤਾ ਭੌਂਕਿਆ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਵੀ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੌਣ ਹੈ? ਇਹਨਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇੱਕ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਵੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਸਾਰੇ ਕਹਿ ਕਹਾ ਕੇ ਹੱਸ ਪਏ ਸੀਗੇ।
Sultan Mahmud used to disguise himself as an ordinary person in the night time, and he used to go around his kingdom to find out how the people are doing. Once when he was doing that, he met five people. So he asked them that, "Who are you?" They replied, "We are the thieves." They asked him who he was. He said, "I am also a thief." So they became very happy and they said, "Well, it is very good. Now we can plan a robbery." But before planning the robbery, they said that we should appoint one out of us as a chief or as a leader. Now, in order to make someone as a chief or the leader, they all had to say or talk about their qualities. One of the thieves said that he has such a quality that he can easily fix a rope on the roof of a palace or to any high building, and it will be so strong that no matter how many people want, they can climb to that roof. That was a very good quality. The other thief said that he has this competence of smelling. Just by smelling, he can say where the treasure is. That was also a very good quality. The third thief said that he is competent in breaking the roofs in such a way that it will not make any noise. Nobody will know that the roof has been broken. Now the fourth thief said that he has the quality that he can easily understand the language of the animals. The fifth thief said that he has the quality that if he sees anyone, even in the night time, even in the dark, he can easily recognize him during the day. Now when they all were talking about their qualities, they asked King Mahmud about his quality. So he was thinking what he should say. So he said that I have such a quality in my beard that if I move my beard, I can free hundreds of people even if they are sentenced to death. They all laughed very much and they said, well, this is the best quality. So they chose him as their leader. So after the chief was chosen, they planned a robbery and they planned to break open the roof of the palace of the king. So because king was now one of them, he was compelled to go along with the plans they had made. So they all went. So when they were approaching the palace, one dog barked. The other thieves asked that person, that thief, who had the quality of understanding the language of the animal, that what is he saying? He replied that the dog is saying that there is a king among you. So they all started laughing. They didn't believe. So they all went to the palace and they, using all their qualities, they all did their jobs perfectly and they took away very valuable treasure from the palace of the king. Now, since king had known where those thieves were, because after the robbery they had divided the treasure and they all had gone to their places. Next morning when the king woke up, he sent his people, he sent his soldiers to those thieves and he caught them. And they all were sentenced to death because they had stolen, they had done the robbery in the palace of the king. When they were being taken to the gallows, that particular thief who had this quality of recognizing the person, even if he had seen him in the night time, in the dark time, when he saw the king, he at once recognized him. And he said that, "Your Majesty, I have recognized you. Now you should exhibit your quality, you should move your beard and save us from the gallows." So the meaning of moving the beard was that he had to say that, "Okay, you are pardoned." So they all were saved from being killed. So this is just a story. What is the reality? The reality is that God Almighty is the King. He comes in this world in the form of the saints and Mahatmas, and he lives among us. We, the drunkards, the indulgent ones, we, the dirty ones, he lives among us, and he lovingly tells us about his qualities, and he always forgives us. He always takes us to God Almighty, and he makes him forgive us. So saints and Mahatmas come in this world and they live among us. They assume this body which is full of dirt and filth. They do this only for the sake of the souls, since they come in this world to take the suffering souls back to the real home.
ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੌਣ ਨਾ ਸੁਣਨ ਵਾਲਾ ਹੈ.
A hymn of Guru Ramdas ji Maharaj is presented to you. It is worth listening to with much attention.
Kalyan Mahalla Chautha Panna 1326. Ram Ham Dasan Das Kari Jai. Ram Ham Dasan Das Kari Jai.
ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੋਚਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਸ ਰਾਮ ਦੀ ਤਾਰੀਫ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਚਾਰ ਰਾਮ ਹੈ. ਇੱਕ ਰਾਜਾ ਰਾਮਚੰਦਰ ਹੋਇਆ ਜਿਸਨੇ ਹਿੰਦੁਸਤਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਅੱਛਾ ਰਾਜ ਕੀਤਾ, ਹਰੇਕ ਨੂੰ ਨਿਆਂ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਉਹ ਆਪਣਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਪਾਸ ਕਰਕੇ ਚਲਿਆ ਗਿਆ. ਦੂਸਰਾ ਰਾਮ ਮਨ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਹੁਣ ਇੱਥੇ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ, ਕਦੀ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਨੇ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਜਾਣਾ, ਇੰਗਲੈਂਡ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਜਰਮਨੀ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਉੱਥੋਂ ਉੱਠ ਕੇ ਹਿੰਦੁਸਤਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ. ਤੀਸਰਾ ਬਰਮ ਰਾਮ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਾਰੋਬਾਰ ਕਰਾ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ. ਚੌਥਾ ਰਾਮ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦਾ ਰਾਮ ਹੈ.
ਫਸਟ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਥਿੰਕ ਦੈਟ ਵਿਚ ਰਾਮਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੇਜ਼ਿੰਗ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦੇਰ ਆਰ ਫੋਰ ਰਾਮਾਸ. ਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਕਿੰਗ ਰਾਮਚੰਦਰ, who was a very just, very well-known king in India. When he lived, he was very popular and he gave justice to the people. He ruled in a very good way and still people remember him. The second Rama is our mind. Our mind always goes on moving from one place to another. We don't know that our mind, who is present here at this time, in the next moment, where he will go, whether he will go to England or Germany, or in the next moment he will go to India. So that this Rama always goes on moving from one place to another. It never stays at one place. Third Rama is the Brahm, who is within everyone and who is making people do the things. Fourth Rama is the Rama or God of the saints and the masters. And he lives in such kind.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde hai, Ram Ram sab ko kahe keha Ram na hoye, ਗੁਰ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਦੀ ਰਾਮ ਮਨ ਵਸੇ ਤਾਂ ਫਲ ਪਾਵੇ ਕੋਈ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਐਵਰੀਵਨ ਟਾਕਸ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਰਾਮਾ ਬਟ ਨੋ ਵਨ ਕੈਨ ਨੋ ਹਿਮ ਜਸਟ ਬਾਈ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਹਿਮ. ਓਨਲੀ ਵਿਥ ਦ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕੈਨ ਵਨ ਰੀਅਲਾਈਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਰੀਅਲ ਰਾਮਾ ਇਨ ਹਿਜ਼ ਓਨ ਸੈਲਫ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਰਾਮ ਰਾਮ ਤੋਤਾ ਵੀ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਸਿਖਾਇਆ ਹੋਇਆ, ਠੱਗ ਚੋਰ ਯਾਰ ਸਾਰੇ ਹੀ ਰਾਮ ਰਾਮ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਰਾਮ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਉਹ ਠੱਗੀ ਚੋਰੀ ਜਿਨਾਹਕਾਰੀ ਤੋਂ ਹਟ ਜਾਂਦੇ, ਮੁਕਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ. ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਫਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਗਾ. ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿਸੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲੋ, ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦੇਵੇਗਾ, ਅਸੀਂ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ, ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ 'ਤੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰੇਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਫਲ ਪਾਵੇ ਕੋਈ. ਫਲ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਜੀਵਨ ਮੁਕਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਵਾਂਗੇ, ਜਿਸ ਘਰ ਤੋਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਤੋਂ ਆਈ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਏਗੀ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਐਵਰੀਵਨ ਰਿਪੀਟਸ ਰਾਮਾ ਰਾਮਾ, ਈਵਨ ਦ ਪੈਰਟ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਟੌਟ ਸਪੀਕਸ ਰਾਮਾ ਰਾਵਾ ਰਾਮਾ ਰਾਮਾ. ਈਵਨ ਆਲ ਦ ਥੀਵਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਕਮਿਟ ਦੀ ਐਡਲਟਰੀਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਆਲ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ, ਦੇ ਆਲ ਸਪੀਕ ਔਰ ਦੇ ਆਲ ਗੋ ਔਨ ਰਿਪੀਟਿੰਗ ਰਾਮਾ ਰਾਮਾ, ਬਟ ਜਸਟ ਬਾਈ ਰਿਪੀਟਿੰਗ ਦ ਵਰਡ ਔਰ ਦ ਨੇਮ ਰਾਮਾ ਰਾਮਾ, ਦੇ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਰਾਮਾ. ਵੈਨ ਡੂ ਵੀ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਰਾਮਾ? ਓਨਲੀ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਗਿਵਸ ਅਸ ਦ ਨਾਮ. When we get the Naam and meditate upon that Naam, only after that, with the grace of the Master, we get the fruit. Which is the fruit that we get after doing the meditation of Naam? Our soul goes back to the same place, to our real home, from where she has come.
So, Ramdas Ji Maharaj, Chauthe Ram Degge, Sachkhand Pohunchke, Ki Benti Karde Hai, Santan Da Nimrtai Shingar Hundi Hai, ਉਹ ਬੜੀ ਹੀ ਆਜ ਜੀ ਨਿਮਰਤਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਪਦੇ ਦਾਸਾਂ ਦੀ ਸੰਗਤ ਦੇ, ਆਪਦੇ ਦਾਸਾਂ ਦਾ ਸੰਗਤ ਬਖਸ਼ ਮੈਨੂੰ.
ਸੋ ਵਾਟ ਡਜ਼ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਪ੍ਰੇ ਟੂ ਦੈਟ ਫੋਰਥ ਰਾਮਾ ਆਫਟਰ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ? You know, the humility is the ornament of the masters. They come in this world carrying a lot of humility. They are full of humility. They are abhor of humility. So even after reaching Sachkhand, Guru Ramdas Ji Maharaj is praying to the Rama. He is praying to his master that, O Lord, you bless me the Sangat. You bless me the company of those who are your devotees. You keep me in their company.
The talk was from Potter Valley, that is to say, Shama's meditation retreat, on June 7th, 1992. A closing bhajan is on page 151. Jai Pada Sahona E Jindariye. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the bani of the Satguru. Come on, dear ones of the Satguru, and sing the true bani. At least sing the Guru's bani, as that bani is above the others. Those who have good fortune and grace, in their heart dwells the bani. Drink the nectar, and always remain in the color of God, as the rain bird remembers the water. Nanak says, always sing, as this is the true bani. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the bani of the Satguru. Bhajan of Guru Amar Das on page 151.
Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Avo Sika Sat Guru Ke Pyariyo Avo Sika Sat Guru Ke Pyariyo Gavo Sachi Bani Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Bani Tagavo Guru Keri Bani Tagavo Guru Keri Bani Asira Bani Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jinako Nahadar Karma Hove Jinako Nahadar Karma Hove Hirde Tina Samani Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Pivo Amrita Sararaho Hari Ranga Pivo Amrita Sararaho Hari Ranga Japio Saranga Pani Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Jai Parasahonai Jindariye Parasat Guru Deepani Kahe Nahanak Sada Kahavo kahe nahanak sadah gavo eho sachi bani chindariye parasat guru dibahani jay parasahonai chindariye parasat guru dibahani jay parasahonai chindariye parasat guru dibahani.
Drink the nectar and always remain in the color of God, as the rain bird remembers the water. May God bless us all.